Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word, means family. We're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. On yesterday's broadcast, Craig Hill was sharing what sounded like a good Jewish family and the principles that were passed on from generation to generation. And, you know, Craig, one of the things I was thinking about when you were sharing that is in my family, we helped our relatives. We even helped distant cousins that lost everything because of the Holocaust. We helped them come to the United States. We helped them get settled. And we didn't even realize that because we were helping them, God was then blessing us. And do you know what my parents were able to do? They were able to leave money to my sister and myself and still live comfortably and still giving was one of their major things in life, but it wasn't giving to get. That wasn't their motivation. It was giving because you're supposed to help your family.
That's such a powerful principle, Sid, and that really is the fifth principle that we're talking about in that five wealth secrets. Is the second part of Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We normally think of just leaving an inheritance to our children would be the farthest, but it says two generations. And God gave us a very specific strategy of how to create how to do something financially so that our children would never have to borrow money for a house, would never have to enter into the debt system, and to set up a perpetual fund so that our grandchildren, great-grandchildren would never have to do that. So that
well, you know, in my family, without even knowing these biblical principles, my parents gave me money to buy my first house. I gave my children money to buy their first house. Why did I do it? Because it was biblical? No, I didn't even know the Bible. The reason that I did it was because my parents did it. Why did my parents do it? But it went all the way back to the Bible.
Exactly. And if we're grafted in, that's what we should be grafted into in Messiah. Those are principles that come from eternity. Those are not just Jewish things. Those are things from God that I believe we need to grab hold of. You know, I saw my father experience an amazing thing as he began to understand principles in the kingdom of God. He met the Lord when he was in 1973, and he had been a petroleum geologist all of his life. That's what he did for a living. But he was so zealous for the Lord when he first met him. He said, you know, I just want to give everything I have to Jesus. I don't want to be a manager of my business anymore. I want to be a steward. I don't want to be an owner. I want to be a manager. And so he went to his attorneys, and he said, you know, what I would like to do, I think the most valuable thing that I have is some overriding royalty on gas production that came from some deals that he had made back earlier, 5-10 years earlier. And there was very little income coming from that at that time, but he believed that one day it would be valuable. So he went to his attorneys and he said, I don't want to even have this in my own name. If you go down to the county courthouse, these royalties are listed in my name. I want them to actually be listed in the name of Jesus Christ. How would I do that? And the attorney says, I don't know. Nobody ever asked me that before. He said, well, I really want to do that because that's what being a steward means to me, is I want it out of my own name. I want it in the name of the Lord. And so the attorney came back and said, well, we think we found a way that you could do that. If you will commit that royalty into an irrevocable trust, you can never take it back into your own name, and you can only use it for the purposes designated, the ministry purposes in the trust, and that sort of thing, then we could title it in the name of Jesus Christ, who is an absent party, physically absent, but to be managed by trustees. He said, yes, that's what I want to do. And he and my mom prayed, and they felt like they were to keep 4% of that royalty to put in my mom's name for their future living. Now, what was amazing, Sid, is that 100% of that royalty was not anywhere near enough to live on at that time, and they felt like God told them just to keep 4% in my mom's name, and that would be enough for their living expenses. And and they gave a couple percent to business partners, and they gave 1% to each of their children. And the day, it was in 1976, the day that they, my dad physically signed those trust agreements, something supernatural was released in the spirit. And that the next day, the two operating companies, the companies that operated those gas fields, called up and said, you know, prices of gas has risen, and we have some new technology available. And I just thought, as the owner of royalty out there, you'd be interested to know that we're going to embark on an intensive drilling program next summer. And my dad said, well, isn't that interesting that you would call me today, which is the day after I actually legally signed those assets out of my name, and I'm no longer an owner. I'm now just a manager. And what happened over the next couple of years, in just two short years, that the cash flow from those royalties multiplied more than 1,000 times, not 1,000%, but 1,000 times. And we saw just a supernatural increase in an ability for my dad to do many, many things in vision, in ministry that God had given him vision for. And so we saw a principle that when people will stop looking, you know what I found, Sid, is people are paralyzed by the spirit of mammon and by the devil because they constantly focus on what they don't have and what they can't do. Well, I can't do this. I don't have that. And you know what's interesting in multiplication is when God comes to multiply, he can't multiply what you don't have. He can only multiply what
you have. Oh, okay, but there are people listening to us, and they say, I don't have these gas leases to even give to Jesus. I don't have nothing. What would you say to them?
And I think that's exactly the point, is that, you know, what's interesting in multiplication, it's an equation. You have God comes and applies a multiplication factor, and it could, you know, God's multiplication is supernatural. It could be 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. Here's the problem. 1,000,000 times zero is still what? Zero.
Right.
And if you just had one, then multiplication can happen. And what I would say is stop looking at what you don't have and start looking at what you do have.
All right, you have an example in your material that is priceless. Very quickly, tell me that.
That example was this. I had a man that I was counseling many years ago, and he was destitute, and, you know, nothing was working in his life. He was living in somebody's basement. He had no job. He'd lost everything. He had no money, and when we got to the end of the counseling time, our ministry was supported by offerings. And God had taught me that I was to ask for an offering at the end of each time, not because we needed the money, but many times because people needed to give. So I said to this man, let's pray and ask God what you're to give. And he said what you just said, well, I don't have anything. And I felt the Spirit of God rise up in me, and I just boldly said, I don't believe that. Show me your wallet. He showed me his wallet, and there was absolutely nothing in it. No cards, no money, no coins. And he said, see, I've got nothing. I said, empty your pockets. I don't believe you. And out fell two coins, two quarters. He had 50 cents. I said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew you had something. And he looked with terror in his eyes, and he said, no, it's January. We're here in Denver, Colorado. It's snowing outside. I live 16 miles away, and it takes 50 cents for me to get home on a bus. It doesn't take 45 cents or 40 cents. It takes 50, and that's all I have. And he says, so I can't give anything. I said, oh, yes, you can. I said, brother, you are a candidate for a miracle. God is going to get you home supernaturally. And he was angry, but to make a long story short, he gave a nickel. That's what he felt like he could give. And so he gave 5 cents, went out with 45 cents, muttering and saying, now I'm going to have to walk home. Well, when he got out by the bus stop, there was a 5 cent piece. There was a nickel just poking its head out of the snow, leaning up against the bus stop sign. He picked it up and didn't even acknowledge it was God. He thought, boy, that sure is lucky. And halfway on the way home, it suddenly hit him. God, you did that. You know my life. Lord, you know me. And he came back the next week with a story. He said, he told me that, and he said, when I got home, there was a $5 check in the mail that was unexpected. And he said, I directly correlate that with the 5 cents that I gave. He says, I'm so excited. He says, I want to pray over the offering right now before we even start. I got $2. So we prayed over it, and God continued to multiply. And I believe the reason was not because he was giving to get, but what happened is he broke the power of the spirit of mammon. There was a stronghold on the inside that spirit had set up that caused him to trust in money instead of in God. And so what happened in this man's life, God began to multiply and increase. The next thing you know, he came back and told me, I now have an apartment that I live in. I've moved out of my friend's basement. Shortly, actually just before that, he got a job, and God began to prosper him, and his whole life began to work. And he came each week with more and more money to be able to give, and he became a giver once he broke that spirit of mammon, and everything changed in his life. Multiplication came to him.
And you know what's so wonderful about the people that get your material, the book, 5 Wealth Secrets 96% of Us Don't Know, and the 8 CDs, God's Power to Get Wealth? First of all, they're going to break off the poverty mindset that has been causing them problems. Next, they're going to walk into the supernatural, miraculous increase of God to get rid of debt and to have money for the great wealth transfer. And I'm the principles you teach in your 8 CDs of God's Power to Get Wealth, everyone needs this, and they need to teach it to their children and their grandchildren. We're making this all available for a gift of $45. This Shabbat broadcast, the Lord is blessing you right now. The Lord is keeping you right now. The Lord, he's smiling on you right now. The Lord, just hold your hands out. He's gifting you right now. The Lord is giving you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, and in your soul, and in your body, right now, in the name that is above every problem you have, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness, right now.
Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'asem lecha shalom.
To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222 Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.